Hello, it's me, your host, Jack, from the Slick Realms, here to talk to you about the B-Movieverse.
Hi, it's Darcy from the Slush Realm, getting your ideas out into the world.
And hi, I'm Fiona from the Dotty Realm, keeping you up to date with all the news in the Beanie Boo Realms.
And today we will be talking about the Dotty military and similar things relating to their culture in later parts of this episode. First, we will be talking about the tactics of the Dotty military, starting with their surprise attacks and lightning speed attacks. Typically, the Dotty army will divide themselves up into corps and larger armies. So they'll have one very large army, they'll break off into very small corps of 3 to 5 people, and then larger groups that consist of around 50 people that act as administrative corps, registering all the results and compiling them into reports to report to the larger armies. Now, with this structure, it allows them to vastly shift through large amounts of information and quickly formulate plans. And typically, they'll use this to launch quick attacks on weaker points, taking out the back lines and the corners of the enemy armies, and using this to feel out the offensive results and types of tactics the opponents are using. Based on this information, they can shift through it all with extremely quick thought acceleration, because the commanders typically of the administrative corps will use thought acceleration to operate at about 50 times the traditional operation speed, and since there's around maybe like 10 of them per an army, they'll be able to operate at about 1,000 times the thought capacity of a traditional army, meaning they can sift through very large amounts of information quickly, meaning that the moment they launch an attack, they can pretty much immediately feel out the results and the best course of action and the weaknesses of their opponent, which will allow them to make very quick attack. But typically, what they'll do is they'll cause the base of stability at the back of the army to collapse and damaging the corners of the army in weak points, causing them to panic and break formation, and then they will launch a large frontal attack, causing them to be pushed back and attacking on either side to force them to pretty much trample each other through large bottlenecks, which is extremely effective considering their large speed allows them to continuously attack the edges of the army running away, meaning it's extremely difficult to survive on these attacks unless you have a very large army or you have a specific plan to prevent them from getting near enough to you to come up with a plan to deal with this. Now, also another major tactic is also the castles. Another major tactic that the Dotties employ is within their castles. Once they are forced into siege, typically what they'll do is they will use flying platforms to go over the enemies and damage their central administration offices. They can also do this while attacking the army by leaping through trees and stuff. But typically, once they're sieged, they'll go on these flying platforms and use light magic to bombard the enemy forces and administrative offices, reducing the administrative capacity and forcing them to back away from the gate to hide away from the fire, which allows them to then launch large-scale troops out of the main entrance to build up enough momentum, because once they build up enough momentum, they can deliver extremely powerful attacks, but without momentum, they are pretty ineffective, because then they just become weaker traditional B-movers. Now, also, another tactic that they can use is their castles, which are often multi-layered to form hive-like structures, with multiple walkways covering the entire thing, meaning that there's a lot of verticality and movement, which allows their tactics to shine, meaning they can perform ambushes quickly and surround and separate large forces of the army, making them extremely hard to fight in their own castle. Though they do have a weakness, though, if you just put enough brute force on them, they can collapse due to their general frames not being as really strong as the traditional slick or sling or other being abused similar to that. Now, we do have one very important thing to do. If you look throughout the history, we can see quite frequently that the Dotties and the Slicks team up a lot. Now, the reasons can vary, but mostly it's so they can gain new land. And this is pretty universal because the Dotties, during the basis, were often quite divided because they could quickly and efficiently outmaneuver each other, meaning that they never had to really worry about a large person setting up rule, meaning that they were often just fighting on their own planet and they didn't get much land at the start. And once everyone had established, they couldn't really form an effective war machine because they're really good at sieging. Launching quick attacks but a larger campaign is just not going to be really effective against them, which is why whenever the Slick declare war, they form an alliance with them, because the Slicks can be an extremely powerful driving force, and then they can pretty much deal with anything, you know, other than the major large armies picking them off. They're extremely powerful, but they just want land, because they don't have very much land, and they need lots of land to support their armies. But typically, they'll only gain slight amounts of land, or they might even lose some, because typically, what will happen is the Slushes, or someone else, will attack the Dotties, and the Slicks will have to room maneuver around them to allow the Dotties to survive. Now, often, sometimes the Dotties will be very effective at the start of the campaign, but once the other armies have sort of got around the tactics, because once you figure out their tactics, it is possible to circumvent them across a large-scale campaign, obviously not across a single battle. Typically, if there's a single battle, they'll lose, but often they won't win the war, pretty much. Which is an issue for them, but since the Slicks can help them out using their large-scale military infrastructure and including them in this, which is very effective for their small-scale cores and quick attacks, means that they can gain vast more power, as well as the Dotties gaining a very large bonus, which is why, for millions of years, they've had this sort of alliance that's sort of been unspoken between them. And you can see this in the current war, where the Slicks declared war on the Danglers and the Sloshers teamed up because they believed it was unfair, obviously, to protect. They then decided to protect the Danglers because they just thought it would be unfair for the Slicks to gain any more land or power as well. And then you can see the Dotties teamed up with the Slicks because they realized that they could get lots of land from this. Because it has been a while since the Danglers were invaded on a large scale. And there's lots of land out there that is not really occupied by the major cities because they mostly focus their land in smaller areas. Also, another key thing to remember is their weapons. There's about three main types of weapons they'll use. Obviously, they'll use other ones. They'll first off use spears, or, you know, lances, or things that they can run up with people and skewer multiple people. Because if they gain lots of speed, they can take down maybe 3 slushes to 4 slushes in one charge, which is extremely effective. Then they can also use lightweight weapons with shields, so they'll charge into someone, and then they'll typically deal lots of small cuts to a large army. And then also sometimes the bigger ones will use hammers or maces or something like that that's extremely heavy, because they can build up lots of momentum and deal a heavy strike. Now, obviously, there is archers who are quite powerful, but they more focus on utilizing their magic, which is light magic, which can be quite effective as a substitute for arrows, because it's just small and extremely fast. So it might be a bit weaker, but it can make up for it with increased speed. Now, because of this, obviously, the Dotties' armor has to be relatively light, which is why they use, during the forging process, they'll liquidate the metal, and then, while it's still liquid hot, using their extreme speed, they can forge the material out of the molten metal, and they'll cool it extremely quickly. Meaning that it appears to be made of partial molten metal, so it's made of lots of tiny little pieces that they've created, making it extremely light, an extremely light and pure alloy that's made of multiple layers, allowing them to move fast and quickly, but it does have relatively low durability and lots of chinks in the armor, which is obviously hard to reach, though, because of how fast they're moving. Along with this, they do lack a large sea military, because a lot of them can actually run on water, the higher ranked ones. But in terms of aerial mobility and power and stuff like that, they will typically use dragons, which they have collected, such as Sapphire, who also collude with them because they use similar light magic and they sort of work with them. Now, they can't really carry them, but what they can do is launch extremely powerful condensed light magic upon the opponents, pretty much making it very hard to wage a sky war unless you have some powerful super weapons on board. But the issue is that Dotties do have a couple super weapons, but for the most part, they are very reluctant to use these. Because, obviously, if they damage their own land too much, it's a very large loss for them, and they just don't want to use them very much. Because they're trying to get that land, why would they destroy it? So, Dotties will often be the people last to use super weapons, obviously second to Danglers. And because of this, they do struggle with breaking down siege fortresses because their advantage often gets lost once they're stagnant and still. I mean, they do struggle a lot with fortress sieges, whereas the Slicks come in and they'll back them up, and then the Dotties can quickly break in and destroy the entire place once the door is breaking down, which you could see clearly is their dynamic. Typically, the Slicks will act as a sledgehammer, and the Dotties will finish off whatever's left quickly, allowing the Slicks to move on, which is very effective for both of them. But as you can see in the current war, the Dotties aren't doing so well currently as their main base in their homeworld has been attacked, but they have been doing quite good progress. They've actually taken out 1 to 3, maybe, fortresses in the Danglers. Obviously, these were relatively understaffed, considering, you know, how long it would typically take. This is still relatively impressive. And they have begun launching attacks on slush cities and quickly damaging large agricultural areas. But it is believed that after a couple of years, they will potentially have to end the war and retreat. Now, those are the most important military things, but now we need to talk about their military structure. To the vast majority, any Luvi will be promoted to a captain of a large army, regardless of talent or things like that, because just the sheer capability and thought capacity, they can estimate think about 1,000 times compared to about 50 times faster than any soldier. So they're about equal to the entire army's administrative office, so obviously they'll be immediately promoted to commander, which is similar to why the commander, the king or leader of the Dotties, is often promoted based on power, because the more powerful you are, the faster you can think. And the faster you can think, the more you can administrate at once. So it's not really a thing where they just believe the strongest should rule. It's more a thing where they can just register more because their minds work faster and it's more powerful. And also, because of this, the ones in charge can often administrate very large troops compared to a single soldier, compared to six, where they'll need, you know, troops to back them up. So typically, you'll have a commander and then two backup commanders that can either be Luvies, who are being taught by that person, and then all people they believe could potentially turn into a Luvie. There's about maybe 10 Luvies within the entire Dottie Nation, which does make them slightly more powerful than, obviously, the traditional Meadow. Not more powerful than the most powerful Meadow, but, you know, because they're extremely fast and they have individual things. But it's believed there's only been about 20, you know, Luvies compared to about 100 Meadows in total history. Because Luvies do live a bit longer because they are sort of very protected and valuable. Whereas Meadows are extremely valuable, but they'll often go into combat because they just love combat and things like that. Whereas Luvies are often staying back and stuff like that. Now, below that, we'll have typical, you know, Leonas and Beanies like that, that are still extremely powerful, but they'll typically administrate the majority of the information going into the Luvie to make sure everything's clear and concise, pretty much. They'll be the translators of that information. Then below that, we have the leaders of the administrative corps. Now, these people will receive large amounts of information, so they'll probably be high-ranking, but not so high-ranking that they could be able to transcribe multiple sort of information sources. They'll, that you know, from very dense information, they'll translate small bits of information and condense them into a sort of operation plan that's sort of simplified. It's more like sort of their mind, how they comprehend it, is what they do is they write shorthand in their mind, and then the Leonas turn the shorthand into regular sort of communication signals and condense everything together is the main operation style. And then below that, you'll have the typical guard of the main administrations. So either the commander or something like that, and these guys will protect any assaults or assassination attempts from the enemies. And then we'll have the traditional commandos who will lead a strike squad, or they'll just be on the front lines quickly dishing out attacks. And then you have the traditional soldier. Now, obviously, there is other roles within the military, but for the vast part, these are the main courses. And also, since they can move fast, they typically won't have a large-scale standing military, similar to the Slushes, but it still will be larger than the Slushes typically, because if they are going to enter a war, they need to quickly be able to mobilize. So typically they'll have about half a year mandatory service, and if anyone shows promise, they'll recruit them permanently instead of having a bunch of sleeper agents like the Slushes. And also schools will typically teach military tactics, so if you show promise in one of those schools, you get half a year of military service. If you show promise in that, you can get promoted to a permanent candidate. But everyone, pretty much everyone, has a level of military service because of the schools, but only the best sort of get picked out for active training. I mean, they can more thoroughly train their soldiers in the specific tactics, meaning their soldiers are extremely adept in what they need them to be. Now, these are the most, I would say, important elements of the Dottie military army. Obviously, there's other ones, but I would say these are the most important. That's all for now. Now on to our news anchor.
Hi, here's Fiona from the Dottie Realm giving you the update in the news for the week. In the earthquake that we reported on in our last bulletin, we have updates of the final impacts. There was a fortress hit in the Dottie city where a walkway was collapsed, and unfortunately over 300 Dotties were killed as a result of being trapped under the rubble. In addition, there were 200 Slushes that were breaking in during the earthquake, taking advantage of the breaks in the walls, and over 200 of them were killed during this siege of the city. There were many hundreds of sieges during this time, and it was ultimately successful, and the city was taken. There are many additional Slushes were killed in the resultant sieges. In a new breaking news story, there is an asteroid that is passing by the Dengla Royal Capital, emitting large magical energy, and could be the start of a major celestial event which could really impact the cause of the war in the Slush and the Dengla forces. It's not known for certain yet what the impact will be, but it'll certainly be a significant impact. We'll keep you up to date in future updates. Now the next update will be on the peace talks, which will be given by Jack.
Thank you for that, Fiona, and I will start with discussing the peace talks. Now, first off, there has been potential negotiations discussed, but it's currently looking like it'll be more of a ceasefire. They are potentially negotiating giving more land and resources and potential returning of captured land and fortresses in exchange for about a month of ceasefire to re-prepare. Now, again, this agreement we have currently assumed will only include the slushes and the slicks from the ceasefire, meaning that the Dotties and the Danglers will still be at war, though part of the deal has included a scaling down of hostility between them, not really the Danglers so much. It has been agreed that the Dotties, in exchange for gaining large amounts of land in that they have potentially lost on their current homeworld in forms of slosh bases, and allowing those current soldiers to leave their outpost back to the slosh planet, they have currently scaled down aggression to only deploying about 100,000 soldiers in total on their campaign against the Dangler world in total, and also an agreement that they will not attack the Dangler royal capital as it is not really covered in fortresses and mostly standard civilians. To be clear, the Dangler royal capital is an entire planet, is covered in a massive cityscape. Now, it is believed that compared to the original estimates of around 100 million, the new 100,000 figure will massively scale down their aggression, and it is expected that several sieges will be lifted temporarily, and having small parties attack smaller caravans will most likely be the only threat people will deal with. It is still recommended that you be careful and vigilant if you are a Dangler, but the hostility is expected to scale down as long as this peace talk goes well. But the current meteorite traveling over is being used as leverage, potentially, to see that the slushes and the Danglers could immediately end the war in exchange for large amounts of land from the slicks and, obviously, the Dotties. Now, this is currently causing them to try and negotiate as quickly as possible a ceasefire, the Danglers, the Dotties, and the slicks, to prevent them from using this as leverage. Obviously, it will be quite difficult for them, potentially, but we will see how this is going. But it appears to be going good based on the threat of the current meteorite coming by. And now on to our community manager, Darcy.
Thanks, Jack. But once again this week, we have no questions submitted to beanieboolaw@gmail.com. But as being a from the slush realm myself, I have a question about the slush species. Thunder. What is thunder and their abilities?
Okay, thank you for the question, Darcy, and now let me answer it. Thunder is quite similar to Meadow. They both have energies that are comprised of both elements, and it's a compound. Now, typically, what Thunder will do is use magic that's similar to lightning in terms of heat, but can form types of energy, like prisons. So you can create walls that can actually have dangerous effects, or create objects with spears, making them extremely powerful craftsmen if they use their powers right, or they can form fortresses temporarily. They're extremely powerful, as well as their ability to fly by turning their body or manipulating the lightning within it. Pretty much they can materialize energy compounded of both the things, unlike the Meadows, who will typically get a large buff to the control and strength of their magic, as well as getting the ability to form defensive objects about it. They'll get a buff to the strength of their materials and the control they have over it, with a slight increase to the attack power instead of the other way around, making them pretty much the counter to Meadows, as well as Meadows being their counter, because together they'll form pretty much exact opposite, meaning if their magics meet, it'll just cancel each other out. Now, obviously this will depend, but Thunders are extremely powerful within the Slush military, and they're extremely valued, but they are not the leaders of the Slush, because unlike the Slick Realms, it's not really based on power, but ruling talent, and it's an election, which is why typically Thunders won't be elected, because Thunders' military service is really important, and you can't typically have your obviously king just fighting out in the military. Sometimes they'll be part of the Antics army, but they'll never really be promoted to military commander, because obviously the Antic family is just so experienced at that. So unlike the Meadows, because these soldiers have such specific roles, they won't really be promoted as high as the Meadows can be, but they are extremely valuable within the military, especially with combating the Meadows. That is their main role currently within the war, just trying to counter any Meadows that appear within the combat situation. And they are currently trying to figure out a way to deal with the, obviously, the big threat Meadow, the main Meadow of the Slick military, the king, who is the largest threat to the Slushers, if he can appear at the base. So they're currently trying to collude a large force of them, maybe enough to defeat Meadow, but this is not necessarily going to be successful. Do you have any other questions?
Yes, I actually have a question that's on topic with this week's theme about the Dotty military. Kiki, who is a type of Dotty, who are they and what role do they have in the military?
Well, it's a good question. Obviously, the Dotties are typically made up of a lot of different species because of the evolution. They're a lot more inclusive than a lot of other Beanie Boos. But Kiki is particularly a blacksmith due to Kiki's extreme speed and ability to create extremely fine things using claws and things like that. It's perfect for the extremely light weaponry and armor that's used. They are extremely talented blacksmiths, but they can also be used for, you know, agriculture. But their main job is just to be a blacksmith with the, obviously, Beanie Boo, the Dotty army. And they can also create weapons a lot faster than any other blacksmith, though it is said that most of them do have lower quality. If they do get the full amount of time that they typically would want, they can make extremely high quality things that are comparable, if not better, than a lot of high quality forges. Is that all the questions you have now?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. See you next time.
See you next time.
See you next time. Send any questions you have to beanieboolore@gmail.com or the email in the description.